For us, it's Sunday morning. It's an opportunity to welcome people into the family. You know what? We can do better. We can do better at welcoming people into the fellowship. And we do okay, and lots of people feel like they've been welcomed and people talk to them and that sort of thing. But we can do better. And it's the call of God for us to do better, to welcome people into the family. You know, I was working, studying this stuff last week or 2 weeks ago, and Mark goes over to the other site, and Mark and Amy were missionaries to Niger for a lot of years, and Mark goes over there once a year to do a language teaching. And he just got back and he was reflecting about his last time here a few months ago in Niger, and he talked about the hospitality that he experienced once again over there. And in this little newsletter he put out, he said, you know, there's an African proverb which says, your guest is your God. It's the sense that we treat people who are our guests, who come into our family home here, that we treat them as we would image bearers of God. But not only do we need to do this sort of welcoming in the formal time of our gathering, but we need to also go to this next expression of welcoming love, and that is that love welcomes into our lives. Welcome into our lives. You see, hospitality is absolutely essential to the faith. It makes sense that it's central to our faith because we worship a hospitable God. We worship a God who does everything that he can to welcome us to his breast, to his heart, to his life. I mean, he will go to any length. He will go to the length of actually dying so that people who are distant from him can be welcomed back into his family. It's the blood of Christ that allows us to be welcomed into him. His death on the cross is this great proclamation that love welcomes. At any price. And then it carries on with lesson minds. If you were with Steph a few weeks ago and she was talking about her work with the Wycliffe Bible translators, she had us look at the day of Pentecost. Remember what happened at Pentecost? There were the followers of Jesus in the upper room, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they go out into the streets, into the squares of Jerusalem, and there were Jews from all over the world there that were there for the Feast of Pentecost, and they began to proclaim the name of Jesus, and this miracle happened. They began to speak in tongues or in languages that the other people could understand. So everybody, no matter where they were from in the world, heard the good news about Jesus in their own language. You see, this is God practicing hospitality. Overcoming these barriers and speaking to people in the language that they understood. God is a hospitable God that wants to, in his love, welcome all people to him. And so it makes sense that hospitality, the welcome into our lives, is central to our faith. It's how Christianity spread throughout the time. We learned about the Apostle Paul, but other Christians, that they would go across the Roman world and they would stay with people that were just kind of followers of Jesus, and they'd stay and live with them so that they could proclaim the gospel to others. And so God, his word is full of God's invitation to practice hospitality. I mean, let's just look at just a few of them. The first one we find here is in Romans chapter 12. It says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Hebrews. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. 1 Peter chapter 4, offer hospitality without grumbling. It's a joyous thing. Experience the joy of inviting people into your lives. 3 John, 1 and 2 John, it's full of this theme of hospitality. He gets to 3 John, he says, listen, we ought to therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they work together in the truth. Hospitality is central. Welcoming people into our lives as an act of love is central to the Christian faith. And we can consider how that's done. You know, it's quite interesting. I was working on the sermon. I was doing some research. I was reading stuff in the scriptures and reading a little bit about the Didache that talks about hospitality and so on. And in the midst of that, I got a phone call, a South African voice. And it was Anne. And she said, hello, my name is Anne Britz, and we are in Ontario. And my husband has got a job in Grand Prairie. And we'll be arriving, he begins work on January the 4th. And we'll be arriving in Grand Prairie on the 2nd or 3rd, and we're just wondering if there's anywhere, any homes that we could stay in for a couple of weeks until we find a place to live, until we kind of get settled out. You know, would that be an option? Because we don't know anybody out there, but, you know, with the church. And I thought, open hostility. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit, you know, testing us or whatever. But it's an opportunity that we can consider to practice hospitality, to invite people into our lives. We practice hospitality. If God's tugging on your heart, you can contact Don, and if you don't write that down, you can get the details from me later. All of this stuff, the hospitality is a welcome, love is a welcome into our fellowship. Love gives a welcome into our lives. All of that is introduction for what I really want to say this morning. And here's the gold. Love welcomes into our hearts. Yeah, Ryan.
Just a quick question. There's too many numbers on that last line. Was there just an extra 7 maybe?
I don't know. I just copied it out of her email. Don't know. You have to email her, I guess. Yeah. Love welcomes into our hearts. There's this marvelous passage in Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you. Since, I just love this. Since I have you in my heart. Or since I carry you in my heart. Or since you are bound to me in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me, God can testify how I long for you with all of the affection of Christ Jesus. What a great thing. This is the big one. This is the ultimate. This is the goal. This is the calling, that we would welcome people into our hearts. That's the Christ-likeness that God is equipping us for. How in the world do we do that? I mean, some people, it's kind of hard to get into our hearts. Sometimes it's because our heart is hard, or sometimes it's because the other person is kind of hard to invite in. How do we do it? How do we get to the place where we welcome people into our hearts? Well, I think there's a few clues right here in Philippians that can help us move along that road as to how it is that we can welcome people into our hearts. Number one, we can remember people in prayer. You notice what he says there? In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And so you've got some person that you feel that, you know, I need to welcome this person into my heart. Maybe it's somebody that you work with that's kind of difficult. Maybe it's a neighbor that's just a marvelous person. Or maybe it's a friend that you've got, and you just got that extra burden for them to know Jesus Christ. And so the first thing is you begin to pray with thanksgiving for that person. And as you pray in thanksgiving for that person, they begin to grow in your heart. They begin to be seen as God sees them. They begin to be formed as a person to love and to dwell with you. Number two, you consider the mission. You see that he says, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. You see, what we need to understand is that the mission that we have in Jesus of loving all of creation back into fellowship with God is much bigger than the hurts that we have. It's much bigger than the prejudices we may have been living with. It's much bigger than the fears that we may hold. He says, no. If you consider the mission, if you understand that we're to reconcile all people to Christ as the Holy Spirit enables us, as we remember the mission, then we begin to see that these people are in our hearts because they are brothers and sisters on the mission, or they are maybe the person that needs to know the grace of God and is going to be brought into the mission with us. Number three, and this is important. We need to see others as they are becoming. We need to see others as to what they will become, not necessarily who they are. Here's the thing. Some of you, you might have a hard time loving me. I cannot imagine why. But let's just suggest hypothetically there are some that are in that spot. Well, how is it? Well, Alan does this, or Alan doesn't do this, or whatever. So you just have difficulty. Here's what this passage says. Listen, don't think about Alan for who he is now with the mess that he is in his life. You think about Alan for what he is becoming. You think about Alan for what Christ is doing in his heart. You think about what Alan will look like when God has begun the work that he's begun, but now he'll bring it to completion, or he'll bring it to perfection on the day of Christ Jesus. How is it that we invite people who are difficult to love into our hearts? We see them not as they are, but what they are becoming in Jesus. And that person is easy to love in the heart, as the Spirit enables us to see with spiritual eyes what that person, that all we can see right now are faults, we begin to see them for who they are in Christ, for who they are becoming. And they begin to dwell in our hearts. Number four, we understand that this word to have means to bind, to hold, to capture. And we just live with the reality that this person God has bound to me, that the blood of Christ was spilled for that person, and we cannot break those bounds. And we begin to live in that reality and say, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is the person that God wants to make my brother or sister. And it's the unbending desire of God that all people will be bound together. And so we say, this is how we live. And as we begin to live this way and view people this way, that they're not somebody that we can shutter out of our life, they're not somebody that we can just push aside, that they are bound to us. And as we live in that reality, we learn to hold them in our hearts. And finally, number five, we have the courage to flow in the affection of Christ Jesus. We take the risk of feeling it in our guts. That's the affection of Christ Jesus. It's in the bowels of Christ Jesus is what it actually says. I long for you. And you see, it's a risky thing to let somebody into your guts, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing to just sort of say, well, I'm just doing this because I decide to, and we kind of keep it in our mind, we kind of keep it in action, but boy, we protect the inside of us, we make sure that they're not going to damage us. It is a risky thing to open up your guts to somebody and say, I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to allow myself to feel affection of Christ for you in spite of the reality that you might exploit my exposure and hurt me. But if we are going to welcome people into our hearts, we have to take the risk and allow ourselves to feel. So how do we put this stuff on the ground? Well, last week we said that love invites, and we had us think about who it is that we might invite to come to the Christmas Eve service or come to hear about the good news of Jesus, whatever it is. And so this time, let's do this. Here's the challenge, here's the opportunity, here's the encouragement. This very afternoon, as you get together with friends and family and spouses and whoever it is, ask yourselves a couple of questions. Number one, ask yourself this question. How can we welcome people in the fellowship? How can I as an individual, how can we as a couple, how can we as a family, what can I do to welcome people into the fellowship? To understand that they are guests in our house, so to speak. What is it that we can welcome? And it's not just new people, because the reality is that some folks, they've been around a couple of years and they still don't feel like they're welcome. They still don't feel connected. So how is it that each and every single one of us live out this responsibility to welcome guests into the fellowship? To make them feel like, yeah, you are equal in the sight of God before us, and we want you to know the love of God as we know the love of God. That's the first challenge. What am I doing every week, every gathering, to make people welcomed into the fellowship? Question number two. Who do I need to welcome into my life? To go that extra step, understand we're all busy, understand all of this, and different people, the circumstances of life can take more people into their life, and I understand all of that, but all of us are responsible to make space in our life to welcome people into our lives, to welcome them into our homes, to welcome them into our activities, to welcome them into our experiences. So who is it that God has passed through the orbit of your life that God says, welcome this person into your life? Make them part of your family. Make them feel at home with you. And finally, and most importantly, who is it in your life right now that God says, I want you to welcome them into your heart? I want you to take the risk. I want you to pray for them every day. I want you to see them as they are becoming. I want you to understand that you are bound together. I want you to risk feeling the affections of Christ for them. Who is it in your orbit that God is calling you to love by welcoming them into your very heart? It might be somebody that you're having the hardest time with. And God's saying, you know what, this person that irritates you at work, this person that's a narcissist, this person, that's the person I'm going to form Christ's image in you by having you welcome that person into your heart. Maybe it's somebody that you just kind of know and you like the right off the top, but it's that extra tug of the Holy Spirit. You know how you get that for some people? It's just this extra tug of the Spirit. And the Spirit says, welcome them into your heart so that they will know the love of Christ. How are you going to welcome people in the fellowship? Who are you going to be welcoming into your life? Who are you going to welcome into your heart? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to understand and to live and to practice the welcome of love, that we invite people to be sure to become a part of this fellowship, of this life, of this family, but to not just invite, but to go to that extra step and to welcome. To make a part of. Lord, you are a welcoming God. And if we are to reflect your image, we have to be a welcoming people. Because God, you are love. And love welcomes. And we are your people. And so we welcome in Christ's love. In whose name we pray. Amen.